This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Instead of doing infrastructure, instead of doing health care, instead of doing so many things that they should be doing, they want to play games. I'd rather see them do legislation. We negotiate out legislation where so many things, actually things that we agree on, like infrastructure, but they want to focus on nonsense.
All right, so that's the president talking about these investigations and what's happening with the Democratic Party. This is on the heels of Michael Cohen's testimony, and there's all kinds of rocks being moved in D.C., bottom line. And while that's happening, you have the president threatening the veto as the House Democrats are ready for some sweeping campaign finance and ethic package reforms that they've been talking about. So we'll dive into some of that as the tsunami that comes out of Washington affects us, because guess what? Those are the people that are representing us. Never forget that. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, and here we are, just still almost midweek, another day in America, and it is Mardi Gras time. Woohoo! It is the beginning of Lent, and there's Ash Wednesday, and there's King Cake, and there's celebrations, but there's not a lot of celebrating when it becomes about D.C. and the business of politics, and that is because not much has changed, right? This time, though, Michael Cohen let the cat out of the bag, or did he? He's either being called a rat, or he's being called somebody who, yeah, he lied, but now he has revealed some information about the press. Well, here's what the White House is saying. The White House is saying that they're not going to comply with a barrage of congressional investigations. And they're saying, like you just heard there, the Democrats are just focused on doing what they're trying to do to pull them down. In fact, they're saying that they're trying to hurt the chances of winning a re-election bid in 2020, saying it's a disgrace to the country. I'm not surprised it's happening. They've started the campaign, so the campaign begins. That's what the Prez was saying, and the little bit you heard there was at the White House after signing an executive order on veterans suicide prevention and talking about not doing things like infrastructure and health care, focusing on playing games. So he's not going to comply with the House Judiciary Committee's request for documents related to 81 of the people around him, citing what he said was former President Obama's handling of congressional investigations during his time in office. He said they didn't give a letter. They didn't do anything. They didn't do one letter of the requests. The Obama administration, so you know, released thousands of pages of documents, including a treasure trove of Hillary Clinton's personal emails during the Republicans' investigation of the 2012 attack on the Benghazi, on the U.S. diplomatic compound, remember, in Benghazi. I don't know. So it suggests the White House could, of course, invoke executive privilege. They could take other measures to shield internal documents. That can happen. Elijah Cummings requested documents related to security clearances for White House personnel. They're going in that direction. But I don't think it's going to happen. If you think of what went on over the weekend at CPAC, the big conservative gathering, he was talking about being harassed and that innocent people who were working at the White House with all this document request is just idiotic and a bunch of nonsense. So where does it go? The answer is it could get tied up, and they are right about this. It could certainly tie up the election if they're buried in trying to figure out what's going on with the different people connected to the White House, the 81 people, which, by the way, is also his family members, like his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and his son, Don Jr., would be in the middle of what the president's calling a disgraceful investigation. While that's going on, the Democrats are either announcing they're running in 2020 or they're not. So now there's sometimes our press conferences to say I'm not running, like Hillary Clinton's been asked about that a lot. She says she's not running. Michael Bloomberg says he will not run for president in 2020. There was a lot of thought that he may jump into the fray again. And he said, I know what it takes to run a winning campaign, and every day when I read the news, I grow more frustrated by the incompetence, he says, in the Oval Office. But remember, he became a registered Democrat last year. But he says he doesn't, he's not going to do it. He said he believes he would defeat the president in a general election, Trump. But I'm clear-eyed about the difficulty of winning the Democratic nomination in such a crowded field. And that's the thing the Democrats are going to have to look at. They have a lot of people declaring that they want to run. It's, you know, it's like someone handed you a bingo card and every spot is covered up. So he makes a good point about that. That's for sure. Yeah, I might run, but if I run, I look around and I see what this field is like. And it's not good. Hey, were you expecting a tax refund? Here's something that is buzzing in your backyard and mine. Everybody's talking about taxes. Did you file your taxes for 2018, but did you get your return already? The average 2018 refund is up, according to the IRS. 4 weeks into the tax filing season, the most recent numbers show the average tax refund has increased 1.3%. To about, this is the average, $3,143. Because remember, there was panic over the 35-day government shutdown and the tax laws changing, and what would people get their refunds quickly enough that we're getting refunds? And the answer is what I just told you. So the average refund amount has increased from 2018, and people have filed their tax returns 4.8% compared to last year. The total amount given in refunds has decreased 3.6% less than in 2018. You know, there was changes, so it's made it, I think the new tax laws made it harder for people to get it together. Like, what they're trying to figure out, ooh, what am I navigating it? And it goes to that whole thing of, are you handling your taxes, or is somebody else doing the taxes for you? And are you in line with whatever those tax rules are and how they affect you with your family size or not, you know, what the deductions are, what you can take, what you used to be able to take and you can't take now, and trying to navigate that. I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward. It just depends on the hopscotching you have to do. What do they always say? Death and taxes. All of us have that in common. I would say weather, too. Everybody complains about weather, so I would put that right there on that same list. But you know what? If you're lucky, you can get out of some really horrific cold temperatures or ridiculously hot temperatures. Although the poor people in Alabama and Georgia and Florida, the tornadoes, awful. I still can barely look at that video. 23 people dead, one family, practically all the generations white out. All right, hang with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side, including fair or foul.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with the story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
There's one family there, it was by marriage, they're connected, and there are over 7 people this man lost in one family. So it's a tragic situation.
Yeah, that's the Alabama tornado victims identified by the coroner talking about that. You could hear the chainsaw. That's the sounds that everybody's hearing from the cleanup. The storm brought the highest tornado death toll in the U.S. since 2013. That's what the National Weather Service is saying. I keep mentioning the number 23. 4 young kids were killed with those tornadoes, especially that ripped through Lee County, Alabama on Sunday. Beauregard, really a close community. You got a feel for them. And they released the names, and it was really sad to see the names, because you had victims from 6 to actually 89 years old. And you had a 10-year-old who was at her best friend's house when she was killed. Wow. Really, really sad looking at the list and the family that lost so many. But the people that died lived about 1 square mile area is what we're talking about. And that Beauregard, it's a town of about 9,000. And what the Lee County Sheriff said, Jay Jones, is we've never witnessed the magnitude of this kind of tragedy before. We've never seen that. And you're seeing the outpour of so many helping each other. But EF4 category, that's what the twister was clocked at, or twisters, winds 170 miles an hour. There's still some people that are unaccounted for. Let's hope that they find those people. That would be awesome if that happened. All right, we're going to swing into Fair or Foul on the show and bring in Andy, the technical maestro for the show. Hey, Andy, how are you?
Hello.
Hello. I was wondering, with this cruise ship that got struck by the wind and the passengers got hurt, some of them, and they had a dock at Cape Canaveral. They were in New York, and they were going down east, not down east, they were going down south past Cape Canaveral. They were going to stop anyway. But this was the Norwegian Escape, and they got all those gusts of wind, about 100 knots. And so the ship was basically listing or heeling to the port side, and it scared people, and things went flying, and some people got hurt. It's supposed to go to the Bahamas. That's where they were headed. And it's a giant, giant ship. I mean, it's huge. It's crazy huge. I looked at it and thought, I don't know. Would you want to take the biggest hotel you've ever been in your life? Would you want to take a cruise on that, in that kind of a vessel? Would you do it?
I would probably do it, but only if it was free.
If it's free, I'll risk it. That's what you're saying. I don't care if there's sheer panic. I don't care that people are getting, you know, because people get sick. People are getting, I'm not saying every cruise, but people are dealing with getting sick, with the disease, with the germs, etc.
Close quarters.
So, yeah, close quarters.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, actually, I probably wouldn't. I've heard enough horror stories about that kind of stuff to not. Dude, I've never been on a cruise. So I guess I don't know what I'm missing. Kind of like that person that that never lights up a cigarette their entire life, you know?
Right, so why even tempt it? So you're saying foul. Forget it. Everything you've heard, it's foul. Why even bother?
Yep, foul.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I love boats. I love the water. I've been on lots of lakes and ocean and all that. But I used to think, oh, yeah, a cruise sounds kind of interesting. And then I had friends that went on cruises and told me some stories. And I thought, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't be as great as I think it is. I mean, I don't know. Could I be persuaded to go in a different direction? I'm saying foul like you, not even going there because I have. And plus, if I go somewhere, I want to just go somewhere. I don't know that I want to be stuck on the water. I'd rather just go out on the water.
Yeah, and like, what if something happens with some people on the boat, and then, like, you get on each other's nerves, or you rub each other the wrong way, then you're just going to keep bumping into them for the next 2 weeks.
That's right. We got to avoid them. Let's go to it. Let's eat at a different time. We don't want to see them. We're not going to the captain's table. We've been invited, but we're not doing it. Oh. Forget it. All right. So we're both in agreement. We both say foul. Yeah.
Yeah. Take a road
trip. I know
trip
people
instead.
Take it. Yeah. I know people do them, and that used to be a thing that a lot of older people did because they could go, that they could relax, they could eat, they could hang out, and it was easy. But boy, it seems like.
Seems like a bad idea, especially for old people, you know, with all the sickness going around and stuff. Their immune systems are a little weaker.
Yeah. I think it's crazy. All right, how about this? The TSA confiscated a military rocket-propelled grenade launcher at a Pennsylvania airport on Monday. It was found in pieces and unassembled in a man's checked bag at Lehigh Valley International, they say. Right? And I looked at it. It really was. And the guy was, it belonged to this Florida guy. It set off alarms. He's going through the airport security equipment. It was unassembled, like I said. And it was non-functioning, they said. And the grenade was a replica, but it was 3 feet long when they assembled it. It was pretty darn scary, I have to say. When you bring a weapon or, by the way, replica weapon to the airport, you can get a civil penalty of up to $13,000. So they confiscated it, needless to say.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't tell anyone about that.
Well, yeah, why would you just bring it and think you're going to sneak it in? So I'm going to say foul. What a dummy.
Yeah, foul.
You know, if it's, and because also they're saying if you have a replica, you will get fined. You can't do that because it is a weapon. It looks like a weapon. You could smash someone on the head with that. You know, when I went to Ireland, and here I'm going back to Ireland, but when I went to Ireland, I got my nephew what they call a hurler, and it's a stick. It almost looks like a hockey stick, but it's rounded on the edge. And I had to check that because it's a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them way ahead of time because obviously they sell them, people bring them back, and they said, no problem, love. And they, you know, wrapped it up, and it had to come out with luggage.
Hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
a weapon. So you got to say stuff like that. And I think, I don't know, he wasn't thinking or thought that that was going to work somehow. All right, how about this? Would you live in an area where they have huge gators? They just had another huge gator that stopped traffic in a retirement community. Speaking of old people, these old people are having to deal with gators. Gators eating dogs, gators eating people when they're out at the wrong time of day and they're around a lake and they have a yippy dog. I mean, it's pretty aggressive in Florida in some of these areas. I don't know. I mean, I'm being really honest about this. I've played golf where there's gators, and you got to be careful because you got to zig and zag if they come after you. They are fast.
I didn't know that they were very fast.
Oh, they'll snap you up. They're not just like, it looks like a rock sitting there. Oh, no. You are gone. Your meat is out. I mean, you're gone, meaning they see you, and boom, especially if you were taunting them. But they can easily get to you. And, you, like I said, you're a piece of meat to them. So, yeah.
Is that fair or foul, living in a place like that?
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about it? What if you make, because you're going to live long, I can already tell. You're happy, you'll be 105. So at 100 years old, would you be living near gators?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not afraid. I'm not afraid of gators.
I don't know. I've always seen, I think when I get older, I'm not going to want to live in Minnesota anymore. I think the winters are going to eventually get to me, and I'm going to want to go somewhere warmer. And that's just part of the deal with the warmer climate.
I like that. Speaking of that, Minnesota, fair or foul, getting more wintry weather that's expected to be pretty nasty again. An Arctic blast smashing into the Midwest.
Foul.
More snow. Foul.
It's a bad thing.
Yeah. How about somebody told me the other day, and I didn't realize this, for people listening in the Midwest and especially in Minnesota, but other places as well, Michigan, Iowa, they have these sticks that you get at Home Depot that you stick in the ground so that marks your property. People know where your curb is so they don't smash into your curb.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of people, like my dad has a winding driveway, so he'll mark the edge of his driveway so when he's plowing or if somebody else is plowing, they don't rip the yard up.
Yeah,
that's
scary.
One of the things that's getting kind of bad that people are starting to talk about more here is the ice dams on the roofs.
What happens there?
Well, the snow, if you don't have good enough insulation in your attic, the snow will melt and then refreeze at the edge, and then it kind of creates these little reservoirs, and then water can kind of eke up underneath the shingles and then get into your house.
Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah,
ooh,
it can cause
that's
a lot
foul.
Of damage.
Yeah, foul, 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 foul. All right, thanks, Andy. Thanks to all of you. Dawn Zier from Nutrisystem about weighing in on the flip side.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump heads to Alabama on Friday for a first-hand look at the damage caused by a tornado that killed at least 23 people in Lee County on Sunday afternoon. National Service meteorologist Holly Allen says the tornado was an EF4, which roared along the ground for 70 miles from eastern Alabama into Georgia. It's the first big twister in Alabama in over 8 years.
On EF4, it's going to destroy manufactured homes. It's going to cause significant damage, if not destroy, single homes that are built on a foundation. It's going to rip trees apart. Going to pick up vehicles and loft them in the air and probably toss them some distance.
The youngest victim was 6. The oldest was 89. Officials say one of the families lost 10 members in the tornado. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Welcome to your nightly fix of Forbes with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Always a pleasure to welcome Dawn Zier on the show. She's the president and CEO of Nutrisystem. And here we are heading into March. We're in March and then April and it's spring. And I think about this because we start off the year talking about, oof, we're sticking with our diets, we're on our diets. And one of the things that my friends and I always talk about is how much should we weigh ourselves? So who's better to answer that question than Dawn Zier? Dawn, that's the answer. So that's the question all my friends want to know. How often should we really weigh ourselves when we're dieting? We do it every day, just so you know.
Well, you should not do it every day, and it's also important to remember that the scale alone is not an indicator necessarily of overall health. It's one important tool, but not the end-all be-all. So you have to think about your body measurements, clothing, fit, but it can be a good way, of course, to track your weight maintenance and weight loss progress. We recommend at Nutrisystem stepping on the scale once a week, and that's because your body weight fluctuates throughout a monthly cycle, and many factors like food intake, water retention, hormones can tip the scale to the higher end. So that's why we think it's most effective on having a repeating schedule to track your true progress, and also to make sure that you're wearing the same amount of clothing each time you step on the scale to keep it consistent. I think, you know, a good tactic is to do it very early in the morning, right before you step in the shower once a week. Max twice. Matt, not every day. You'll drive yourself insane.
Well, so it's interesting, Dawn. You mentioned, you know, consistency with clothing and things like that. I mean, who's not going to just make sure they're weighing themselves when they have no clothing on? I don't want to carry the burden of that extra 3 ounces of socks.
Well, I wasn't going to say that on radio, but yes, everybody, weigh yourself naked. It's the best way.
You can say naked on the radio. You know, what's interesting about this is I would think that for some people, the challenge might be actually having the discipline or the memory, kind of the muscle memory, to remember to do it at the same time every week. I actually set an alarm on my phone for everything mm-hmm. like this where I try to do it consistently at the same day and time. Do you find that a lot of people actually set something on their phone so they remember to do it and then keep a log?
I think they do. I think a lot of people set it on the phone and then they do keep that log. And I think the point of doing it, like, the best time, I mean, let's face it, your light is first thing in the morning. So for me, the best thing to do is right before I get in that shower, step on the scale.
And not after the shower because, yeah, not after the shower because wet hair adds another 3 ounces.
It does.
And so is it done, and you said this in the beginning, because things can change, water, hormones, all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff, but you know that there's just that innate feeling of we want to know, especially we're excited and we feel like we're losing weight. People are telling us we're losing weight and we want to know, but why is it a bad idea to weigh yourself every day?
Because you'll see the fluctuations. So one day you might have been really good, and then you get on the scale, and for some reason or another, you gained a pound, and you felt like you worked really hard the day before. Sometimes it just takes a while for it all to come together, which is why, you know, I used to weigh myself every day, and it was, some days it was great, because you drop 3 pounds in one day, you'd be like, wow, but the next day you could be up 2. So it wasn't really accurate. I think it's just much more easy to, you know, do it again once, maybe twice a week. You know, if you have a bad weigh-in, then maybe, and you don't believe it, then maybe get on the next day. But I think it's hard because I think what it does is it can discourage you.
We're talking with Dawn Zier. She's the president and CEO of Nutrisystem. And we're talking about how often you should weigh yourself. And Dawn is saying, especially while you're dieting, you should only weigh yourself once a week and make it at the same time. And, you know, make it in the morning when you weigh less, and make it before you get in the shower so you're not weighing your clothes too. You mentioned, Dawn, that weight is not the only sign of whether you're healthy and getting healthier. Can we talk about that a bit? Because frankly, that's at least as important as how much you weigh is whether you're eating a healthy diet and living a healthy lifestyle or not.
Yeah, it does make a big difference because, you know, it comes down to your energy level also. So what we find is, you know, even if you just lose a little bit of weight, you have more energy. You want to, it's not just about getting on the scale. If you feel more energy, if you feel better, if you have, you know, exercise a little bit, because exercise, while I don't think you can necessarily exercise your way to losing a lot of weight, because it is really about what you eat, it does really help with the overall maintenance and conditioning of the body. So it is very important and helps with metabolism and all of that. So, you know, I would say exercise is important. And, you know, even if, you know, you don't feel like, remember, like as you lose weight and if you're exercising, you may be gaining some muscle. So it's not just about the scale. You know, you got to think about your body measurements. That's another good indicator. How's your clothing fitting? You know, and it's really about your mental well-being too. How do you feel? Do you have more energy? Do you feel better? I think that's really important.
It's interesting. You use the word maintenance, Dawn, and I was just thinking that when you get to the phase in your life where, wow, you've really nailed the equation and you are in the maintenance phase, when you're done dieting, although I think you're always doing that, but you are in maintenance, does it change how often you should weigh yourself?
Actually, no. And I think, you know, it's not, you know, the idea is not to be on a perpetual diet. The idea is to eat healthy, right? And if we all have those girlfriends of ours that, you know, have the perfect, what we would view as the perfect body, never seem to, you know, can drink or eat all they want. They don't seem to gain an ounce. My sister-in-law being one of those people who I love dearly. But I will tell you what she does is she weighs herself regularly. You know, she makes sure that she does not get off track. And I think that's really important because I think, you know, I know myself, if I am having a, quote, bad week where I know I haven't really been very nutritionally sound, if you will, like I will just weigh myself next week. And then that can turn into 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of just not weighing yourself. And that's how people get off track. So I think the discipline of always weighing yourself once a week, at least, you know, I would say just once a week or at max twice, is really important. And I think if you asked our friends that we view as being healthy and fit, they would probably tell us that they do that.
It's interesting thinking about this and then thinking about, you know, we've just been talking about how often you should weigh yourself during the maintenance phase. But I'm also wondering, and I'm asking this as a guy, and we've, you know, I think kind of view the world differently. For instance, we're very competitive, and I'm aware I'm saying mm-hmm. that to the sports princess, Kate, who is very competitive in her own right. And Donna, I'm sure you're competitive because you work in a very competitive field, and you're the CEO and the president of Nutrisystem, and you wouldn't have gotten there if that you didn't have a competitive nature. But it seems to me that it would also make sense for us to talk a minute very specifically about when you're starting a diet, because you want to, do you just want to weigh yourself once and then dive into the diet? Do you kind of want to get a baseline of weights before you get a stop, before you start a diet so you know where you're at? Can you talk about that for a minute?
I think it's really important to know your starting weight, and I've talked to many people who don't want to weigh themselves until they actually start the diet because they don't want to know how bad that starting number is. But, you know, that is also, you know, what motivates you to stay on a diet is actually, or to continue your weight loss journey is to, you know, see the progress you're making. And, you know, when you start to diet, that is when you probably will lose that first week or two. You tend to lose a little more than you do in weeks 3, 4, 5, 6. You can continue to keep losing, but fast success often happens in those first couple of weeks and can be a real motivator to keep you going. So if you decide not to weigh yourself until 10 days in, you're really missing out on what is the joy of the hard work that you're doing and seeing those results. So we say, you know, bite the bullet. When you start the diet, get on the scale, you know, get ready for it, brace yourself, write it down, and then begin your journey.
Oh, I so agree with that. And part of that is, Dawn, do you think that we're goal-oriented? If you're goal-oriented, wow, even if it's a couple of pounds, whatever it is, it makes you feel good, and it keeps what you're saying, and it keeps you on that journey.
Exactly. Totally agree, Kate.
Yeah. And somebody wanted me to ask you this because I mentioned that, of course, we were having this conversation and you like this question, but do you recommend a certain scale? If you go scale shopping, boy, there's all kinds of scales.
I like the scales that you can calibrate. So you calibrate it and it gets to, I'm not sure really technically what it's called, but it gets to almost like a natural zero. So every time you step, before you step on it, you press the button and it calibrates, because I think those tend to be the most accurate. And I would say it has to be the same scale. So, you know, probably less important is which scale. It should be the same scale, because if you're, you know, if you have a scale in the office, or if you're at a doctor, or if you're weighing yourself at home, all those scales can be calibrated differently and tell you different stories. So really it should be the same scale. And I like those ones that really, you know, self-calibrate right before you get on them.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I wondered why every time I go to see my Aunt Nancy, I'm always 10 pounds thinner, and I found out Kate tricks her scale. So.
Here's my advice, Kate. Exactly. Steal that scale.
This is a very valuable conversation. Absolutely. So, Dawn Zier, President and CEO of Nutrisystem, as always, thank you so much.
Take care.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hello, I am looking for a special soul from the GCN audience to hire to come to East Ridge, Tennessee and take care of two peaceful, easygoing people, which are a sweet 95-year-old woman and her 60-year-old son. Terms would be free room and board, plus the use of all of our facilities here at home, in exchange for living with us and seeing to our needs. We must have someone that fits in well. We get along with most anybody and value those who like to do the same. We live in a suburb of the scenic city of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Please email Matt at peaceaboveall.net for additional information. Please include your informal resume stating your strengths and weaknesses and reasons you would make a dedicated caregiver. We would also offer to negotiate a nominal salary in addition to everything else. Again, please email M-A-T-T at peaceaboveall.net. Thanks for responding.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Very pleased to welcome to the show a woman who's written several children's books that really bring home, I think, important messages. Gina Shaw is an author. She joins us now. Gina, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thanks so much for your interest in my book.
So let's talk about one of the books that was the first out of the chute when we talk about A Mouse in the Oven, because a lot of people have talked about this book. So what was the idea behind A Mouse in the Oven?
Well, you know, it was such an unusual occurrence. When you read the book, you're going to find out that it starts off to be about a mouse, but then something happens, and which changes the whole the root of the book.
So when you sat down to do A Mouse in the Oven, you had the idea because of something that happened, but the direction that you went in, were you surprised how it all kind of poured out of you?
Well, yes, I was. It just seemed like it was such an unusual adventure, an unusual thing to have happen, that I thought, well, this has to come out in print.
And what was it that led you to do the children's books? Because there's a lot of different places you can go. And, of course, as many people know, and we're speaking to Gina Shaw, we're talking about specifically this book, A Mouse in the Oven, that a lot of times children's books really have the adult meanings also wrapped into it. But what was it that led you down that path?
Well, I just think, first of all, I thought it was just going to be an interesting story. It's very funny. It's very unusual. and kids are attracted to small animals. And I just thought it would be a great thing. And then as I got into it, I realized that it was a good learning tool. Because at some point I asked the children what would they do to help solve the problem of this mouse, and later on other things that came.
And when you asked the children what would you do to help the mouse, what kind of answers do you think people are thinking out there?
Well, they're so creative. You know, children don't have all of this stuff that we adults accumulate over our lifetime, and they're so creative with their answers. They come up with very interesting things. Some of them, of course, aren't very practical, but it's always fun. I love working with children.
I love that you, of course, include them in that. So you talk about the mouse in the oven, and an incident happens. You decide, boom, you're going to do this. Did it take you a long time to put the book together? Was it sort of marinating in your mind for a while?
Yes, that's how I tend to work. I don't go to sleep at night. This whole thing goes round and around in my brain, and it comes out pretty much the way it's going to be. Although I did make some changes, and you know, books can always be better, but it is what it is.
I like that. It is what it is. And one of the things about children's books, as all the people listening to us know, so much of this also is about the illustrations. So what did you do with the illustrations?
Oh, I have the daughter of a friend of mine does just beautiful work, and she agreed to work with me on that, and subsequently the other books too. And I think the illustrations are better than the story.
We'll have to make sure that she hears this for sure. And you go from the mouse in the oven, and then finally, you know, you put it together, you see it in print. What was that moment like for you when you saw it in print?
Well, it was lovely. It was just really nice. I haven't seen myself in print, not you know, published print, other kinds of print, yes, but it was just it was very exciting.
It is very exciting. And then, of course, we go to Freddie the Feral Feline. And tell us a little bit, without giving the whole story away, because you didn't give anything away about the mouse, and we can tell people you can go to Amazon, et cetera. That's a great way to get it. But tell us about Freddie and what the story is about Freddie.
Well, it's basically about a feral feline, a wild cat that decided it would come and live in my house uninvited, and how it got along with the dog and my then tame cat that I had.
Ah.
So this is kind of scary because I didn't know what would happen with a wild cat and especially with the dog. You know, and the way it turned out, it was just quite amazing.
So you took a chance on making that work, huh?
Well, I didn't have much choice. You see, I have a little doggy door that's open all the time for my animals to go in and out. And this feral cat decided to make it its own.
And so then there you go, boom, becomes a member of the family. So it's interesting because we go from the character of a mouse, then we come upon Freddie, and they both have something to do with your life. So that gives you the idea, like you say, sometimes you lay awake at night and you think about it. And then we get to another one that you're working on. And we can't tell people, again, too much about this. Either you're working on it, but it's Ants in My Plants. And I started to think about that. And I didn't like to use to work in the garden, Gina, because of ants, because there were these red ants and fire ants and whatnot. So now I'm wondering, Ants in My Plants, where is that going to take us?
Well, that actually happens indoors. And so, but living in Southern California, we have all kinds of wildlife that are around the neighborhood, and we just have to learn how to live with them. And of course, you know, nobody really likes to kill animals, even if they're pesky. And so we have to try to find other solutions to these problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, living in Southern California, you certainly get the flavor of that. There's no question about it. So we know that you're an animal lover. Were you an animal lover from the time you were a kid?
I was, and we were never allowed to have pets. So, of course, the first thing I did when I got away from home was got myself a dog.
Wow. What was the name of your first dog?
Dunkel.
Oh, I love that. Dunkel. I'm expecting another story with that name. I love that name.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, well, that was a long, long time ago.
And what kind of dog was Dunkel?
Well, she was a German Shepherd. She was actually the runt of a large litter. I think there was seven or eight puppies, and they just couldn't keep her. So I had to take her home with me and hand feed her and just really baby her. I even had to go. I was a singer, so I even took her to a rehearsal once in a basket, and I was sure that if anybody found out about it, if she made any noise, that I would get fired. But it turned out all right.
Thank goodness. We're speaking with Gina Shaw, and we're talking about her children's books. We talked about the illustrations and how beautifully they were done, and the fact that now we have another book that's coming up about ants. So we went from a mouse to a feline, a feral feline, to ants in my plants. And you were a teacher. So do you think the whole background of teaching also kind of set you on this path of storytelling and stories and children?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I taught elementary school for 25 years. And yes, I really enjoyed the little ones. I just love the way that that children are, usually.
I like that. I like you threw in the usually. But and what's sad is in some cases, a lot of times reading has been lost, but I think reading is so key to reaching children, to teaching them things. And isn't that part of the idea of your books, that there's something that can be learned?
Well, yes. And it's very nice. Actually, children can read it for themselves, but they're very nice to be read to, especially if you know, read it kind of dramatically. And I find out that not just children, but adults, even very old people, like to have the stories read to them.
Yes, and you and I were talking about that off the air. And tell me how you found out that older people really enjoy hearing those stories, too.
Well, I work as a visitor. I visit patients for hospice, patients that are, you know, nearing the end of their life. And so sometimes I play music to them, but sometimes they like to be read to. And they just, you know, sometimes they don't want to talk. They don't want to have a conversation because they're not up to it. But they like to hear the stories.
Oh, I love that. That's a beautiful thing. That's something that certainly that's another thing people can take away from this interview, without a doubt, that one of the things that you can do is to lend a hand and read stories to other people. So we take you from the elementary, being an elementary teacher, to these books, and then what you hope the takeaway is. Ultimately, whether it's an adult, whether you're reading to someone, whether it's children, what do you hope the big takeaway is for anyone who reads any of your books?
Well, I think that what I'd like for them to do is to really enjoy them. Maybe they can, you know, maybe these things, I'm sure they happen to other people too. And so they can probably, you know, go along with it and say, oh, yes, that happened to me. And then maybe they have some ideas about how they dealt with it. But I just think that they're fun books, and I think that they're teaching stories, and they should be for everybody. I'd really like to see them get out there and a lot of people read them.
All right, so start off with that mouse in the oven, and then you got Freddie the feral feline, and then Ants in My Plants. We'll wait for that to come out. And again, Amazon.com, all roads certainly lead there. Gina Shaw, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Kate. It's been fun talking to you.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with the story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.